Hello, everybody.
Hola.
Hola. Welcome back to Double Indemnity, the podcast where we discuss and review new movie releases. So exciting.
Movie releases that are
new. Wow, we really just finished each other's sentences. Wow.
That's crazy.
That's such a cheesy joke. That's such an overdone joke. Okay.
It is.
So, just a couple intro disclaimers. We're going to spoil the movie. We're going to talk about lots of key things. If you don't want it spoiled, you should go watch it yourself and then come back after. And we can talk about it. Also, remember, follow us on Letterboxd, where we will post the movies before we talk about them. If people want to leave comments. I don't think anybody did. Do you want to check?
No, nobody did.
Oh, fantastic. So,
fantastic.
Moving on. First segment of the day. What are we watching right now?
What are you watching?
What am I watching? Not much, honestly. I watched the movie that we are talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
But we really haven't been watching much TV recently. I've kind of been enjoying like a little bit of a TV cleanse. Coming from somebody who's talking on a movie podcast right now. But I don't know. We just haven't been watching a lot of TV. Going to the movie theater is different than watching TV, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's for more, sure. You know, it's a full immersive experience. You get the snacks, specifically popcorn. Any other snack at the movie theater is just ridiculous, in my opinion.
Any other snack?
Yes. I was raised where you get popcorn. If you want something else, you got to sneak it in.
No.
I'm the FBI mini is going to come dogs, for me for all of the candy curds, I've snuck. My mom,
everything.
Growing up,
pizza,
she would literally, she would have a purse. She is an icon. I did this too sometimes, but I'm like without my mom too. She raised me right. We would get like McDonald's soda drinks. She would have them like in her purse, like cups of drinks.
Oh my god, what did they spill?
I don't know. We got by with just fine.
Dang.
It great memories as a child.
Aww.
I love sneaking in like full meals to the movie theater too. That like fun. That is honestly a vibe. We've done it before. We snuck in like taco stuff.
Yeah. Taco stuff.
You know what I mean?
I love that
we
restaurant.
Snuck in Taco John's, which is a place I never heard of till we moved here.
True.
But yeah. Like Jonathan likes to get like pizza at the movies and like cheese curds. I'm so off topic right now, but I'm just talking about movie snacks. I had a long day. Okay. I don't know where I am, who I am, what's going on. I don't know.
Who are you?
I'm just along for the ride. Why are you sitting here?
Why are you in my apartment?
Okay. What are we watching right now? We kind of started watching Beef. I didn't really want to watch it.
Yeah,
it
you were
like,
that looks so stupid, Jonathan. And then you
I
got into it.
I did not say that.
You totally
I just
said that.
Thought that it seemed like a little too like out there for me. Like the description of it reminded me of like Everything Everywhere All at Once for some reason.
Because you hated that movie.
Uh-huh. I don't know. It just seemed like it would be overwhelming.
Oh, because they're
and
both,
I didn't want to watch it.
They're both about,
and it
with
is
Asians
over. Stop it. It just seemed like it'd be overwhelming. I was vegetarian for like 6 years. So it's just like the mention of beef, you know, it just like
it
gets under
off.
My skin.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So we're kind of watching Beef. We also have been kind of watching Love is Blind for any of my reality TV show lovers out there.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed to say.
What's so funny is I was watching it on my own because Jonathan gets home later than I do every day. And he was so mad at me for forcing him to watch it. Like, he was furious because I was like addicted. I was like, I have to watch this. And then he gets mad at me because I started to watch it without him.
How it works.
Because I thought you hated it.
How
and
it
then
works.
You were like, why are you watching it without me? So everybody out there, just know. Men are secretly obsessed with reality
that's
dating
an Instagram
TV shows.
Reel, like thing.
What do you mean?
Like that's on a lot of Instagram reels.
What?
It's like guys.
I don't
when they
have
first
Instagram.
Join, true. Guys, when they first start watching like their girlfriend's reality TV, they're like, "This is so stupid. Why would I watch this?" And then like one episode later, they're like, "Of course she did that."
Well, Jonathan, you were like, you watched the whole season of The Bachelor.
That's
as
true,
well, because we were watching it with friends.
It was a group event.
It was a group event, and there were other guys there, so you kind of had some bro action, you know, braction.
I love some bro action in my life.
Yeah, and then also, Jonathan, individually, without me, is watching Succession.
Because for some reason, you don't want to watch it.
Okay, here's the dealio with Succession. Also, somebody left us some recommendations for shows that I was thinking we should look
Ooh.
At. I don't. Somebody commented it on our video. some TV show record. No, okay. You would have to scroll through.
I will scroll.
Okay. Well, maybe not now.
Well, yeah. Keep
We're
talking.
Kind of in the middle of something right now. Can you do it later, please?
No, I cannot.
But some very nice soul left us some TV shows to watch, which was super sweet.
Very cool.
But Jonathan likes to watch Succession. Here's my thing with Succession. It's too much. It just makes me too anxious. They hate each other so much that it's too much.
But they love each other at the same time. It's like, it's such a conflict of interest because it was too
anxiety inducing. Honestly, it's you're giving so me anxiety right good. Now. Can you please just not scroll? Can we just like do the podcast? Thank you. Okay.
You ho.
Let's get into the movie, Jonathan. Do you want to intro? What did you say?
Nothing.
What did you call me? Did you call me an H-O-E?
No.
I can't even say it out loud.
I called you an H.
Can't believe you said that in front of our baby. not a baby, a dog. We have a dog. We don't have a baby.
I called you an H-O.
What's an H-O? What's the difference between an H-O and an H-O-E? The H-O-A.
You tell me.
One requires extensive fees. I'm sorry. That was terrible. I'm so tired.
Okay, I will intro the movie because Emmy's getting so off topic.
I'm going delusional right now.
It's called The Covenant. Directed by Guy Ritchie. Which
totally sounds like Guy Fieri. Like, I would have thought Guy Ritchie was like a chef. Guy Fieri's a chef, right?
Yeah, with spiked hair, yeah.
Okay.
Diners, Drives, and Dives.
That's Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives.
You Diners, Drives-in. Drive-ins, and Dives.
Diners,
I was Drives-in. One thing and it's, whoa.
It was just so
Drives-in. <and Dives. laughs> As I was saying, directed by Guy Ritchie, who has done a lot. He's most known for Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. That was like his first
Never
movie.
Heard of it.
Movie did called Rock and Rolla.
Oh, is it about like for roll ups? Oh, yeah. I'm in a weird mood right now.
Fruit roll up movie? I'm not surprised if they make like a live action fruit.
I feel like a fruit roll up movie would be a horror movie.
It's like,
you know, like its tongue. Like, I hope everybody enjoyed listening to that sound.
This
grabs you by the leg and like drags you into the forest. Yeah.
This is ASMR with Emily Glazer. He also did a little movie called Aladdin, the live action one.
Oh, that one was kind of hokey. I'm not going to lie.
He did both of the Sherlock Holmes movies.
Oh my God. I love those.
He did King Arthur, The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, I do really like The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
And The Gentleman.
Oh, really? Guy Ritchie?
Yeah.
A chef and a movie maker? A man of many traits.
And then... Operation Fortune, which also came out this year.
Never heard of it.
Wrath of Man. He's done a lot. And all of his movies are like, it's all can be characterized with like quick dialogue, action scenes, and like gangsters.
So it's like a running theme. So are you saying in this movie the gangsters were like the Taliban?
No, I'm just saying this movie is a departure from that. He's doing something serious. And
well, there was a lot of short dialogue. And
like
there were bad guys and action
tone.
Scenes.
Yeah, but it wasn't like an action comedy. It's usually his.
I do love an action comedy though. There were like, were there jokes actually?
There were a couple.
There
were
a couple jokes.
It wasn't an action comedy. It was a
The jokes were more like someone was being a smart ass. And it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's him. Some fun facts about Guy Ritchie. A fun fact. He was married to Madonna.
Really?
For 8 years.
Didn't work out.
They share two kids.
They share them. I feel like you don't say that. Maybe they bore two children together.
They share two kids. The people say
they
that.
They have two kids.
They share
I
them.
Don't think they say share.
Yeah.
My parents don't say, oh, we share two daughters.
No, but it's like if it's a celebrity couple and they've gotten divorced.
They share two kids.
Well,
what if they don't? What if only one of them has them? They don't share the kids.
Yeah, that their kid is theirs.
I don't think a child is a possession.
Technically, they're a dependent. So,
if I file it on my taxes, I own it.
Exactly. You're paying for it.
Yeah.
Might as well.
True.
Get some incentive there. Beans has spotted something.
Oh, she's going to get another one of her bones.
She looks really cute right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the budget. Guess what the budget is?
Give me a guess. That's my thinking sound. 50 million.
Good guess. 55 million.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. They were mostly just out in the desert the whole time. I mean, yeah, they had to get some pretty fancy airplanes, but they could have CGI'd them if they wanted to.
I think the AC-130 at the end of the movie was CGI.
Yeah, but it was still pretty cool.
Yeah. Can you whatever guess an AC-130 where it was filmed?
I guess that it was filmed somewhere in America, in like Nevada or something.
Incorrect. It was filmed in Spain.
It was filmed in Spain. Oh, I guess that makes sense. It looks like it looked
Alicante?
Like Spain.
Alicante?
Alicante, yeah.
It's a place, apparently.
I've heard of it.
And a box office as of this weekend, about 7 million. So I mean, not bad.
It's not really good though. Jakey. So would you consider that a flop? When do you consider it a flop? Like, what percentage do you have to make for it to
I
be a flop?
I don't know if it's like a
flippity flop. Do you think Jake Gyllenhaal wears flip flops?
He seems like the kind of guy that
seems like
does.
He's flip flopping all over the place. I'm sorry, but men in flip flops like never really did it for me.
Noted.
Yeah.
Good thing I didn't wear flip flops.
More slides.
Slides, baby.
Okay. I think it's because my dad never wore flip-flops. We're just getting into some deep childhood trauma here.
Apparently.
I'm kidding. Flip-flops, man.
Oh, no.
Taking me
don't
back.
Don't delete all. No. No. How about you? Okay. This movie stars a dirty, unwashed person, also known as Jake Gyllenhaal, as John
Is that
Ridley.
A joke or something?
Yeah, it's a joke because Jake Gyllenhaal, like, he was speaking at an interview and he was like, yeah, I never really shower. And so it's a joke now that Jake Gyllenhaal is just like dirty.
Disgusting.
In every movie. Now.
That is so gross. He doesn't shower. He does kind of look like a little bit of a greasy person. You know what I mean? His hair always looks a little greasy.
True, but it worked for this movie.
True. He was supposed to be just disgusting the whole time. So.
Dar Salim as Ahmed, who is probably the best performance.
Yeah.
Johnny Lee Miller as Colonel Vokes. And Anthony Starr as Eddie Parker, the private contractor.
Private contractor.
Contractor. Yeah, there's the intro. There you go.
How many stars?
3.5 or 4.
Okay.
In that range.
I would give it 3 stars.
Racist.
Honestly, it was just like a super straightforward movie. Like there was a specific... very specific goal. They achieved it. They both saved each other. You know what I mean?
True.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a great movie and I liked like what it was in honor of. So like, let's talk about that a little bit. So
yeah, me too.
This movie was inspired by all of the like interpreters who were left behind during the American pullout of Afghanistan in 2021. So I tried to look it up and I couldn't figure out like exactly if they like promised people visas or something or what happened. I don't know. Our puppy is upset right now. She's bumbling around. If you hear her, there's something outside the window. So I don't know exactly like if they made it like these interpreters were promised visas or like what it was. Yeah. But it seemed like from the article I read, and do not quote me on this, I am not saying this is what happened. I'm very much not educated on the subject to talk about it. But it was like people who had been in jobs where they were offered visas would have been like fired from their job for like a random stupid reason or lost their clearance for like something random. And then they wouldn't get the visas, even though they had literally like put their lives on the line for it.
Yeah. I can definitely see that happening.
Yeah. But in the movie, they talk about how they had offered visas to all of these interpreters who were locals from the area who would work for the United States to translate and help with like understanding certain situations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, because they know the town, they know the people, they know like the cultural norms of the area. So like they were able to interpret and like help the U.S. forces do whatever the heck they were doing there. So knowingly, like, these interpreters literally, like, and these are real people that, like, did these jobs. They put their families' lives on the lines, like, helping the United States, because to them, the assurance that they would get visas, like, was worth it. Like, they were putting it on the line for that. And I, like, can't explain my disappointment for, like, how the whole situation in, like, 2021 went down. Like, I think a lot of things were not done well. I'm not an expert on the subject. All I know is, like, surface level, like, news reporting and media. So, like, not speaking too much. But I know that it was not a good situation for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it still isn't a good situation for a lot of people.
Especially,
and I don't...
not the, the citizens and
the locals in the area.
And the interpreters that helped the United States.
Yeah, anybody who was, like, working for the United States when they were there. So yeah, I don't want to get political, but I do want to acknowledge the fact that, like, that is a bad situation and they were doing this movie to bring light to it.
I like
and
that,
to honor the situation.
Yeah, we haven't seen a movie like this before that brought up that subject.
Usually it's just like making a movie of entertainment out of, like, a terrible thing, but this was trying to bring light to a terrible thing, like, through a movie and, like, making you emotionally connect to people. And actually, like, physically see somebody going through a struggle, even if the story isn't real. I don't know if the story was based on a true story, but it, like, it draws you more emotionally to not just, like, blacking it out as, like, a random news article, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I am proud of them for highlighting that and making a movie, making a movie about it.
The original title was The Interpreter.
Why did they change it? I think that would have been a good title.
I think The Covenant's better.
See, for me, The Covenant seems like it's about a cult.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. It makes me think it's about a cult.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like there was a, what do you call it? American Horror Story season.
Oh, there is
called
Covenant.
Covenant.
You're right.
And so I just think of, like, witches and stuff. Yeah. But that's a good season of American Horror Story. Yeah. So
Kim Kardashian's going to be in the next season of that.
They're still making it?
No, yeah, apparently.
Huh. Well, interesting. Ooh. Okay. Are you ready to talk about the plot?
Yeah.
So, the movie takes place during the Afghanistan War, as we have discussed, and it follows a U.S. Army sergeant named John Kinley. So, that
Ridley.
Is Jake Ridley? It was Kinley.
John Kinley. It was John Kinley.
That's what I said. You said Ridley.
It was John Kinley.
You just said Ridley.
Yeah, I didn't. I noticed it.
So, that is Jake Gyllenhaal. Jakey boy. So, they start the movie showing a squadron. Is it called a squadron?
Squad. Yeah.
Squadron. Because I kept trying to write squadron and it kept autocorrecting it to quadrant. Is there a squad at the beginning? Or is it squadron? Or do you call it a quadrant? Am I making sense?
A quadrant is like, it's like there's four quadrants in like a square or something.
Yeah, that's what
a
I
squad,
thought.
Yeah.
But when I tried to write squadron, my computer got really mad. And now it sounds like a weird word.
Squadron.
That's a squishy word. You know what I mean? Sounds squishy.
What other words sound
squishy?
Squishy
is a squishy word.
That's true.
Okay, back to what I was saying. So they show a squadron of men who are tasked with finding, like, Taliban weapons, holdings, and, like,
IEDs
and, like, the places where they make bombs. But they really haven't found much so far. Like, then they've been doing this
They're
for
struggling.
Years. So they've been doing it their way, the American way, where they just, like, have checkpoints on the highway and they stop people and they check their cars. So there was, like, a really sketchy truck that the interpreter at the time and one of their team members, I don't know what you would call him. I don't know all the ranks. Like, the ranks don't make sense to me in military.
What do you mean?
I was going to say in military time.
I hate military time.
I do like it. I don't want it, like, personally. Like, it's not on my phone.
I know people that, like, have military time on your phone. You're like, wow. You think they're pretty cool.
No, I'm like, they must have been ROTC or something. But I remember when I did my study abroad, everything was in military time. And, like, now because of that, like, I'm better at doing the switch between
that
it.
Makes sense.
But before, like, there was absolutely no way I would have. I know that obviously it's 24 hours in a day and I could figure it out, but I would have had to, like, think about it. Whereas now I just can look at it and I know. But it is nice because you know, tells you when things are going to happen exactly. You know what I'm saying?
So does
regular on the time. Dot. Yeah, but you need a pum or an am.
It's like, what? Would you like am?
Yeah. So where was I? Oh, yeah, the sketchy truck. So there are two guys checking out the back of a sketchy truck. One of them is a squadron member. One of them is the interpreter. And they basically die because it was a bomb in the truck. So my story, happens. My storytelling skills are so good.
Got me on the edge of my seat, man.
Okay. Yeah, well, they died. Okay, whatever. Get to the point. So the truck, there's a truck they were checking and it exploded because there was a bomb in it. And the two of them died.
Wait, the truck exploded because there was a bomb in it?
Long story short, they're dead. But they pretty much show you like very quickly that the squadron did not care about the interpreter and they cared so much about Jack-Jack. Because they say things all about Jack-Jack's killer, like, oh, we missed Jack-Jack and all this stuff about their squadron member. And they like cheers to him with a beer every time they drink, and they don't say anything about their interpreter, like, ever. They do not care that their interpreter died. Yeah, and it kind of just like shows that they did not respect their interpreter, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it was kind of a crappy thing to do, in my opinion. So now John Kinley, he needs more men. Two of them died, you gotta replace them, you know what I mean? Yeah, it happens. So he recruits a new interpreter and a replacement for Jack-Jack. So the interpreter he hires is Ahmed. So a little background on Ahmed. Ahmed was born into like a wealthy family in the area that's known for like selling heroin. And they're like super tight with the Taliban because the Taliban buys heroin from them on a regular basis, I'm assuming.
For unknown reasons.
Yes, sure why unmentioned reasons, you know, such and such, daily tasks, as one does, etc., etc. So, Ahmed gets mad because the Taliban murder his son, and he's like, which is an understanding.
Got mad about that? Oh my God.
Stop making fun of me. If you want to tell the story, you can tell the story.
It's fun.
So he decides to go work for the Americans in response to now hating the Taliban.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that didn't cause familial issues for him.
Yeah, I know. I feel like, well, I guess it kind of did.
I am, you know, wee bit. But so from the start, they show that Ahmed is very stubborn in his ways and that he knows the land, he knows the people, and he knows the area better than the team does.
He proves it too.
Yeah. But the thing is, he makes a lot of gut decisions that Kinley doesn't like. And even though the gut decisions like lead to new leads and saving literally the lives of the entire team, Kinley, like, even though he respects Ahmed, he means, what are you doing right now? You have to sit on me, don't you? That's what you're trying to do. Okay.
Just slide in right here.
She literally did. So basically, Kinley respects Ahmed, but he doesn't trust him. Like, he knows Ahmed is smart and he's a good worker and he's making like good decisions. But as he's doing that, he's going against Kinley's authority. And, you know, if you're going to be in a life or death situation with somebody, like, you want to trust them, you know?
Semper Fi.
What did you just say?
Semper Fi.
I don't know what that means.
It's a thing. It's like Marines use Semper Fi. It's like their motto.
Cool. These weren't Marines, though.
I know. I'm just shouting out. You know?
Okay. So, through a backdoor method, don't know why I put this for lack of better words. That's backdoor just what I decided method. To do. They find a lead on a potential weapons holding in a mine. When you watch the movie, you know what I'm talking about. A backdoor method. So they show up at this lead and they find a bunch of guns, bunch of bombs, a guy being tortured. I mean, jackpot. You know what I'm saying?
I love a guy being tortured.
On a video yes. camera. No, it was sad. So they basically just were there, their squadron, like really far away from their base to get to this mine.
3
and
hours.
They decide that they are going to go in there and they're going to shoot them up.
120 clicks to be exact.
I don't know what the heck that means in English.
Clicks is kilometers.
120 kilometers?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what, like?
80 miles.
Yeah. 60 miles, 70 miles, 80 miles, somewhere around there. So they're like, we're going to blow this place, right? So they set up a bomb, and Jake Gyllenhaal goes, we only have 3 minutes for the men to get clear. So they're calling for backup. They're getting all the guys at the mine together. They're waiting on the bomb. Then boom, ambush. You know what I'm saying? Specifically, exactly, a real boom. They were being ambushed. It was a massacre. So it was kind of ironic because they only had 3 minutes to, like, before the bomb went off. And within the amount of time of those 3 minutes, his entire squadron dies. Like, literally within 3 minutes. And I was wondering, I was like, did they time the movie to be exactly 3 minutes? Like, I think it felt like 3 minutes.
Yeah, they probably did. I really appreciate it when movies do that.
I know. I was literally going to say the same thing because I feel like if you actually time it, then they're making you actually feel the moment as it would go down.
You're in, like, the vocabulary word, the diegesis of the movie. You know what I mean?
That is a gross word. Diegesis? What does that mean?
It's like in the movie's world, in its environment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I thought it was very sad to watch, honestly. They did a pretty good job, Beans. They did a pretty good job making this, like, a heart-wrenching scene. Like, the idea that 3 minutes can change so much of your life, like, in an instant.
And, yeah, like,
such a short period of time.
The music in the scene was really good, too. Honestly, the music in the movie was one of the best aspects.
I was okay with it. I thought it could have been better. Like, I feel like they could have used the music to make me more emotional or more, like, tense. And I didn't really feel like I was getting that from the music. Like, the music, yeah, like, it was fast when it needed to be and everything. But I feel like they could have evoked more emotion through it, and they didn't. In my opinion.
Beans, what do you think?
Okay, so the only survivors of the massacre are Ahmed and John. So the two of them embark on a hundreds of miles journey back to their base, which was 3 hours away by car, which has got to be pretty darn long on foot when you can't travel on the roads.
Yes, through the mountain passes.
And you're hiding from the Taliban.
Insanely difficult to cross.
It was stressful, that's all I'm going to say. So on their journey, John gets, like, severely injured, and Ahmed
shot twice.
Yeah, Ahmed literally physically carries him back to base. Okay, yeah. So on their journey back to the military base, John gets, like, severely injured, and Ahmed has to physically carry him back to the base, which I cannot even imagine.
Well, yeah, the Taliban shoot Kinley, and then
pretty
Ahmed
badly
kills them all.
Ahmed kills them all. Thankfully he didn't get caught. They did a good job at this one scene of, like, they basically, like, really beat down Kinley to the point where you're like, he's gonna be captured, this is turning into a hostage situation kind of movie. And then all of a sudden Ahmed comes out of nowhere and, like, straight up kills them all, and he saves him. And they did a good job at you, like, literally you losing all hope, you know what I mean, that he was gonna go home at least without getting, like, tortured to death or something. So Ahmed comes in true badass nature and kicks their bajooties. You know what I'm saying?
True that.
Yeah, bajooty kicked. So the rest of the movie is basically, well, not the rest of the movie. The rest of this chapter in the movie is basically John high on opium the whole time because his wounds are so bad and he's in so much pain. And pretty much just Ahmed struggling to get across the countryside to get back to the military base. And he's using the GPS watch to, like, find his way back to the base.
Just the amount of stuff that he goes through and the strength that it would take to do that.
It was really good. And they show this, it was a funny scene. They show him, like, pour a tiny bit of water into Jake Gyllenhaal's mouth, and then he chugs the water bottle. It was just really funny the way they did it. It was pretty good. And I was just wondering how many water bottles he had to chug for that scene.
Three or four.
He was probably at a point of, like, he has to act like he is so dehydrated, but he is beyond hydrated at this moment, you know? Like, I was watching it, and I'm like, he's probably got a lot of water in him right now.
There are some actors that, if they have to eat something during a scene, they'll eat the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they do the scene like 30 times. Like
if John, you do it once, you have to keep doing it.
So John Cena ate like an empanada on this on the set of the Suicide Squad,
mm-hmm.
the newest one, and he had to eat 30 of them. He said he felt terrible after.
I don't think I'd feel good after three. Poor guy. If you eat one thing, you just have to eat the rest. And I remember I saw once that Millie Bobby Brown was talking about how she'll fake chew.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I always knew you were faking. Like, your chewing does not look real, sweetie. She is a great actress. But I can tell when she's fake chewing because she's like, I hope you can hear her fake chewing. The audio. Come on, Beans. You can come up here. Sorry for all the interludes of us talking to our dog. So, basically, they get pretty close to the base and they run into some American soldiers.
Well, before that.
First yawn of the podcast.
First of many to come.
I swear I'm not bored. I just don't have enough oxygen in my brain when I talk this much.
Talking so much.
I know.
Yeah, before that, he runs into the Taliban and he kills three of them. And then you hear another vehicle come up and you're like, oh, shit.
You think it's the Taliban, but it's actually the Americans. And then they like put him on the floor and try to arrest him. I'm like, he's literally the hero in this situation. You were trying to arrest him, right?
Well, they didn't know who he was. He just had
a gun. They didn't know who he was, yeah. But he just killed the Taliban. So, like, those are the bad guys.
He could have been a Taliban too. They didn't know that.
You're shooting for the right team. You know what I'm saying?
Don't shoot your friendlies. Friendly fire.
Is that why it's called friendly fire? Because you can't fire at somebody friendly. It's not nice to fire at people.
It's friendly fire, yeah.
When you shoot at your friends?
The only people that you like. If you don't like, it's not friendly fire.
Why is it called friendly fire?
Because you're friendly.
What does it mean?
Because you're on the same side.
But why would you fire at each other if you're on the same side?
You only say friendly fire if you're not, like, you don't know that it's the other, you're allies.
Oh, if you're shooting at your friends but you don't know it, that's friendly fire.
Like, yeah, you don't know that you're shooting at your friends because either you can't see them or they've got,
so you don't know in the moment that you're being friendly.
No.
okay, glad we cleared that up.
To explain it. But
you're so bad at explaining things. Obviously I'm fantastic at it.
Obviously. And then they died.
Whatever. Okay, so basically, stop the microphone up to Pete's mouth. Do you have anything to say, Pete?
Really cute if she barked at you.
No, it would be so loud.
It would be really loud.
She doesn't need two microphones. Okay, moving on. So basically, after they get caught by the Americans, not caught, found.
Caught. Friendly fire.
Trapped in friendly fire. I'm friendly, I swear. Okay, so John then wakes up in America in a hospital.
America.
And you.
The birthplace of AIDS.
So you basically find out that Ahmed was not granted a visa by the United States, and he's now hiding out from the Taliban with his wife and his newborn child. So this is honestly extremely infuriating because he straight up just pulled this guy across the Rubicon. He parted the Red Sea, you know what I'm saying? And this guy gets thrown into the trash can.
I'm the recycling.
So delusional right now. Of course, recycle if you can. If reuse, recyclable, reduce and recycle.
This is a theme that we have
a podcast already titled that. So,
yeah, number two.
So, this is when John is heavily troubled by the fact that Ahmed saved his life and now has been left to rot by the American government. So he doesn't discuss it like a bond, which was an interesting part. He discusses it like he doesn't care about doing right by Ahmed. Like, that's not what he wants. He feels like he is in debt to him, and he's mad that he feels in debt to him. Like, it's almost like he's mad that Ahmed saved him, because now he, like, feels this extreme guilt and need to, like, save Ahmed and his family just because Ahmed did all of that work to save him. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because it wasn't at all like, this is my brother. Like, we've been through so much together. I want to save him for what he did for me. It's like, I'm mad at him for what he did for me. I have to save him and I'm mad at him about it. It was like a really weird way to explain it. So yeah, this is not a story of friendship, everybody. This is a story of debt. So pay your debts. Pay your dues.
A Lannister always pays his debts.
Lannister always pays his debts. So John spends weeks trying to get a visa for Ahmed, but
very relatable scene of being on hold.
Yeah, for days, of course. You know, that's always what happens to me. Like, usually 2 to 3 days on hold, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about average. So John spends weeks trying to get a visa for Ahmed, calling people on the phone, and he just kind of realizes that he's going to have to go back to Afghanistan to find Ahmed. So that's what he does.
Yeah, that's what he does.
You got to watch this part yourself. They make it pretty easy for him to find his friend, in my opinion. Like, he literally shows up, talks to one guy.
He talks to his
within
brother.
15 minutes, he is with Ahmed.
He talks to his brother.
Yeah, but how does he find his brother? How does he not get in trouble before getting to the brother? I don't know. I feel because like his face would have been all over the place. I feel like people would have known, like, who he was. And, like, you know.
Not when you have a scarf on your head. Makes you immune to everything.
Yeah, yeah, honestly. They all put scarves over their faces because they didn't want anybody to know what they looked like, which is so scary. Literally living somewhere that you have to make sure nobody knows what you look like because you never know when you're going to make an enemy next.
Yeah, I need that.
Mm-hmm. Beans, that was the fridge. She's barking at the fridge. So, yeah. Overall, enjoyable, easy to watch. Not easy because it's happy, but easy because they capture your attention and they keep it relatively well. So honestly, pretty quick podcast. I usually look at Wikipedia to like kind of help me sum up my synopsis in like a reasonable way because, you know, I'm just such a good storyteller, and I use that as a guide. And the Wikipedia article for this was about 3 sentences long for the plot.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so not too much to tell. It's a lot of just scenes of them struggling and being sad.
I like the definitions of the army terms. I mean, I knew what they meant, but I still like that they gave, like...
For normal people, yeah.
Yeah, like QRF, quick reaction.
I only know what an IED is because you said it once, and I was like, are you talking about an IUD? Like the female birth control, but you were talking about bombs, so...
Different,
yeah. Kind of just stuff. A wee bit.
Just a wee bit. Gotta hate to mix those up. Jesus.
Stop. It's not even funny.
And then the end, I knew the end, what was going to happen at the end. As soon as
the movie starts, you know that Ahmed wants a visa. You know he's not going to get it. And you know that Jake Gyllenhaal is going to get it for him.
No, I knew that the contractors would save them at the end.
Oh, no. I was worried the contractors like ditched them. But I kind of didn't understand the conversation they had because they said like fancy military terms.
Well, yeah, they said like get an angel. And then Angel of Death.
I don't know what an Angel of Death is, though.
It's an AC-130 gunship. That's the plane.
So it's just like a really cool plane that shoots things?
Yeah, it's got a machine gun and artillery and all that jazz. And it's kind of a...
I want a plane.
Deus Ex.
I want an Angel of Death plane. Because I have so many enemies that I need to shoot.
Friendly fire.
Friendly fire, of course. Only to my friends. You have to be a friend of mine.
to be shot.
By my Angel of Death.
It was definitely like a Deus Ex Machina situation, you know what I mean?
Ex Machina?
Deus Ex Machina.
I know what Ex Machina is, the movie.
This is not that.
Ex Machina?
Deus Ex Machina.
It's, I don't know, like, what the heck that is.
A simple solution to resolve a plot at the end of a movie.
That's, so like, yeah, that's what they did. It was so,
saved,
yeah.
Saved at the end.
But you knew they would get saved at the end. Like,
I know,
nobody
so cool
wants a story
when
like
the
that.
Taliban died, you know what I mean?
Yeah, people are just not supportive of stories with unhappy endings.
I love a happy ending. I love unhappy endings.
I hate self-destruction movies with a passion.
You do. Beans. I love them. They're so interesting.
They remind
people
you of your life.
People at their worst is... Exactly.
People at their worst I do not want to see. I want to see people, like, you know, have a little bit of a rough patch, but then come out of their best.
No. Rough patches all the way through.
Okay, Jonathan. Do you have anything else to say about the movie? Because we're about to ask the golden question.
Oh, shit. We're so bad.
What
at this.
Movie are we going to watch next week? Okay, there's actually like some good movies coming out for the week after next week that I'm excited about, but I don't know what we're going to do for next week. I literally have no idea. We could literally watch the stupidest movie ever, Renfield.
I don't really have any desire to see it.
Ever. Are there any like movies that have come out like online or something that we've been watching?
Yeah, there's Ghosted on Apple TV.
What's Ghosted?
It's like an action movie with Chris Evans and Ana de Armas.
Ooh, I'm not a huge Ana de Armas fan.
It looks
It's just an
action
movie. Like it just looks like it's trying
it's
to
like
be
they're a couple and then she disappears and then you realize that she's like with the CIA or something.
Okay, like you know what? Only because I feel like we can really make fun of it. I want to watch it. Fine, we can watch it. We're watching Ghosted next week, everybody.
See how simple
Get
that was?
Get excited. There are some good movies coming out after that, though, so I'm excited.
There's Guardians of the Galaxy, Bo is Afraid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That'll get us set for 2 weeks. The Little Mermaid comes out.
When does that come out?
May 26th.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you memorize that? Wow.
I looked it up today. Bye.
Bye.